Good morning, church. I want to welcome you to this service where Jesus Christ is giving the final word of his word to God the Father. It is like a report back to the Father. This is a confession or profession of Jesus Christ, of his work which he has done here on earth, of his purpose, what he had come for to this earth, of what he has achieved on this earth before he died. In the next one or two chapters, you will see Jesus Christ being led to the cross and dying. And this is the time when he is giving something like a meeting of a farewell to his disciples who are listening to him, when he is in conversation with the Father God who had sent him through his love. He doesn't mince words. He's saying it all. So let us pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for being our God. We thank you that, Lord, we can see the sun shine, we can enjoy it, and we pray, God, that at the same time, people will enjoy healthy life. There's been a lot of death, a lot of sickness through this COVID-19 pandemic, but Lord, we pray and we can see signs of it vanishing. Be with us as a church to be strong. Be with the church worldwide to be strong, so that, Lord, we can come back again to meet in your buildings. Bless this word for today in Jesus' name. Amen. The farewell message and the prayer of Jesus Christ in John chapter 17, where you have heard the reading. I can't go on explaining what Jesus said, but what I will do, I will put it as a narrative of what is in John 17. It is self-explanatory. It is a prayer, the Lord's prayer or Jesus' prayer, when he is speaking directly to his God, disciples listening what he has done. He is speaking here like a hero, a person who has done it all, who has gone through it all. And indeed, he's now about to die. Next week, we shall be remembering his death, his sufferings, his resurrection. And here he's reporting as he is giving a farewell message to God, which we call his prayer and his last message. There are few things which he mentioned here, the few main topics which he embarked on to speak here. I want to just follow them a bit. Since I told you that I will just narrate, I am not giving that hard sermon, but I am giving a narrative of what he said, Jesus Christ. It's not what I am saying, but it's what he said. Number one, in verses 1 to 4, he prayed, he defined eternal life. He's speaking eternal life. That's what he came to present here on earth. Number two, verses 5 to 8, he prayed for restoration to former glory. He prayed for restoration for former glory. You know, he has been on this earth. He had worn a physical body. He looked like a human being. He looked like a person because he had this body. This is the body which will be dying in a few days to come in these scriptures. So he prayed for restoration to former glory. When he is giving this farewell message, speaking to the Father, It means that he's just about to go. People who are about to die, when you visit them at the hospital, you listen to their words. They speak words which are unusual. They speak words which shows that they are giving a farewell. So the message here was so painful to the disciples when they listened carefully. When he prayed for the church, when he prayed for people, when he prayed for himself, he prayed for himself. Here in number 3, verses 9 to 11a, he made a special prayer for the church. He made a special prayer for the church. If God, him in Jesus Christ, prayed a special prayer for the church, do we pray for the church? Or do we pray for ourselves only? You will find that Jesus here is praying for himself. Jesus Christ is reporting here to God. Jesus Christ is praying for himself for the restoration to the former glory. It is very important to pray for ourselves. So number 4, verses 11b to 14. Jesus Christ is praying God to keep the saints safe. He says, I am praying for the keeping of your children, for the keeping of them. Because he had with them the disciples. So he was praying straight to God to keep them. Keep them from what? From all of these things. It might be wars. It might be disasters. It might be diseases like this pandemic, or diseases like what other terrible diseases have done before, like the HIV AIDS that swept the world, similar to this one, which is sweeping the world. So God prayed for them, that God can keep them safe as his saints. In verses 15 to 20, he said, he prayed a prayer that the church may be kept pure. In the previous number 4, he prayed for the saints to be kept safely. But now he is praying for the church to be kept pure, because there is a time of heretic people throughout the world. Heresies will come up. That's what he had prophesied before. False prophets would come up. That's what he had prophesied before. Many things will come to destroy the church. And the apostasy will affect the church, as we have seen in these years. But here Jesus had already prayed that God may keep the church pure. Pure means clean, means in truth, means straightforward, means the church knowing that God is their God, not worshipping idols, not mixing idols and God, not worshipping people, not worshipping money, but worshipping God. This was the prayer of purity of the church. The church must be pure. There are so many groups, so-called churches, which are so dirty because they behave badly. They do hypocrisy and many other things which God is not happy about. So it was a prayer. That's why today I can stand and say, Jesus is my Lord, because of the prayer which Jesus prayed. In number 6, which is last, the prayer was for unity of the church. It was for unity of the church. That is number 6. Why? There has been so many divisions within the body of Christ, divided by little verses or small verses, which people wanted to fulfill their fleshly desires. they would use a certain verse so that they start a new group which causes divisions in the main body of Christ. So Jesus Christ prayed for this in item number 6. When I go to item number 7, which is last, Jesus prayed for exaltation of the church. The church to be exalted. The church to be seen as a supreme body. Governments to recognize the church. I have seen that in so many presidents of the world, they worship God. So many presidents of the world, they claim to be Christians. This is what Jesus Christ prayed for. Remember, in the period of the kings, in the Old Testament, there was a period when the king could be like a church leader. And the kings and the judges, they were all from God by that time. So this is the time when Jesus Christ prayed for, so that people would recognize that God is the leader, not them. That's why you see most of the leaders today, they are Christians. We feel proud of that. You hear a country leader talking about God, because he leads God's people. He is a leader of God's people. He is not the leader of his own people. He is not a creator. He is nobody. He is just a leader who has been installed to lead the people. It is God who puts these leaders. That's why the Bible tells us to to respect them. That's why the Bible tells us to obey them, because we believe that they are from God. Because if God doesn't want such leaders, if some people to lead the people at that particular time, depending on the situations, some, according to our judgments, will be very evil leaders, because they don't do what we want. But if God has approved them, we need to obey them. That's what the Apostle Paul emphasized when he said, obey your leaders. He was speaking about these presidents, the prime ministers, and the many sort of leaders who are leading his people in the world. So he is talking about the exaltation of the church. That was a special prayer. Exaltation of the church. Now, to summarize, I'll go over the verses again. Like from verse 1 to 4, he prayed, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son. The hour has come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Look, Jesus is praying for him to be like the Father. Although he was praying from a human body, he wanted him to be glorified, the body to be clean, the body which had mingled with the people in this earth, to be changed, to be glorified, to be like the glory of God himself. That was the first prayer of Jesus Christ. Do we sometimes pray for ourselves? Do we pray for our bodies? Do we pray that our bodies can be glorified? Jesus Christ prayed this prayer for God to glorify his Son also, so that he can be glorified like God. In verse 2, and thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Everybody needed this power, the power which Jesus Christ had. He wanted to give to all flesh. This is Jesus Christ. But he declares eternal life here. He wanted, people are living this temporal life in these human bodies, but people need to have eternal life. That is when, even if they die today, their bodies will be transformed to the glory of God. Their bodies will live eternally because they will be in eternal life. In verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I said it before about the apostasy. The apostasy is when people are mixing God with idols. And here Jesus Christ is praying that God can give this power for people to receive eternal life so that they will worship the only true God. That's what he says there. Very specific. The only true God, Jesus Christ is saying. And he said, I've been sent for that purpose. In verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. He has. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. That's why I said this is the last profession of Jesus Christ, the last declaration of Jesus Christ. He's so proud to tell the Father that he has glorified him here on earth. He has all the power, and he like boasting that I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. He had no more work to do. He was just about to die. He knew the body he was wearing was about to be destroyed. And therefore, he says, I have finished the work you have given me. Verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Yes, he's praying for the restoration of the glory which he had before anything was created. He's talking to the Father here, the total unity and the total glory of the Father to himself. That's what he is praying. We need to pray for each other. If you feel now you are in glory, do you pray for other people to be like you? That is what Jesus Christ is doing here. I have manifested thy name, verse 6, unto the man which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. Now we belong to Jesus. That's why everything we do in Jesus' name. Because he really claimed us from God, that we are his. And God had given us to Jesus Christ. That's why he died for us. He was uniting with us so that he takes us to the Father up there. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. He's telling God that people have seen that whatever things are here, whatever things have spoken about, whatever things Jesus have presented to them, all these things, they belong to God, not other gods. That's what Jesus here is saying. He says, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out of thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. The disciples believed that Jesus Christ had, that God had sent Jesus Christ to this world. And even so many people had believed. When he was doing the miracles and other things, and the way to which he was preaching, people knew that it was not from just a human being or just a man, but words were supernatural, deeds were supernatural, indicating that there was a God behind everything. That's what Jesus here is saying. And the disciples are hearing what Jesus Christ is saying here. He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. If you gave me to win for you, they are now yours, and you gave them to me. I am praying for them. Jesus Christ prayed for us. Jesus Christ died for us. Jesus Christ is still praying for us. Jesus Christ is interceding for us. So we are in safe hands. We need to believe in him. We need to do all what he said. Can we stand today shamelessly and declare that all the words you said, we have given the words to them? Have we preached? Have we visited people? Have we done all the required of the Christians? And can we really stand and declare, as Jesus did here, to say, I have done this, I have done this. What you sent me to do, I have done. Are we doing what Jesus, what God has sent us to do? Are we doing it perfectly? Are we doing it wholeheartedly? Are we doing it with confidence? Or are we doing it partly? Or are we doing it in the way hypocrites do? We as Christians, this prayer has a lot to say to us. When Jesus continues to say, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. I pray for them, those you have given me. In verse 10, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Jesus says, he is also glorified in us. If you are a minister of religion or a pastor, and you see so many people have repented, you feel that happiness, you feel that power which is from God, because these people will be a glory to you. Why at least you are a glory to them, and the God is glorified through us when we are called a church. And now I am no more in the world, but they are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. We heard him praying for himself there, for God to glorify him. We need to pray for ourselves. Even if we come to preach, we need to first cleanse ourselves. We pray, we get that power. And that is what Jesus Christ did. He says, Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Jesus Christ is praying for unity. Although many people want divisions, but Jesus Christ prayed hard for unity. Even a day before he was to be killed, before he was to be taken to the cross, Jesus prayed for unity, unity, unity. So we need to be united as a body of Christ under his name. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition. He was speaking about Judas Iscariot when he was with his disciples. He mentioned Judas Iscariot here. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joyful feet in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. He was hated, and no wonder why Christians are hated today. Majority of the people are worshipping the devil. Majority of the people are following fake churches, are following fake ministers or fake prophets or fake apostles. But Jesus Christ, he had this prayer. He knew people will like to follow the world rather than following God. Verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Evil. God is praying for evil, not to really destroy us, not to destroy the church. He's praying for evil, for us to be kept from evil, so that we don't touch. Remember, in the Lord's Prayer, in chapter 4, 5, he prayed that is chapter 6, Matthew. He prayed for this evil, that people should be protected from evil. That was his prayer. He's repeating it again here. And in verse 17, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. People must listen to this word, the word of truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Bible we are reading is the word of God. In the book of John, in John, early chapters there, he also mentioned, said, search the scriptures, for in them we think we have eternal life. They are they which speak of me. So these scriptures are very, very important. Although people are now overtaking the scriptures, they want people to look at them rather than reading the scriptures, or they turn the scriptures to do according to what they want. But if we read properly the scriptures, we will be sanctified and we will be children of God. So he prayed here for the church. He prayed for us. He prayed for his people, those who follow him, to be sanctified. That was a specific prayer. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. The truth is the one that is needed. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Through the church today, those who are believing, are going to believe. Jesus prayed for them before they believed, before they were born. The prayer is there for God to really touch them, touch their lives. The prayer is working today. That's why we see the word of God going around the world. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Jesus Christ spoke about unity many, many times there, even in John chapter 13 there. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By so doing, many will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Do we love one another in such that people will know that we are Jesus' disciples? You find that the world is torn apart. Many people don't believe in God, and many people behave like believing in God, but they have a hate, a bitter hate of other people. In verse 22, he says, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. He says the glory is that we can be one. It is the glory which was given him, and he says he has given this glory to us, the church. We need to be united. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect. Perfect. You know, perfection is when there is no dot, just a black spot. Anything bad, as little as anything, that is purity. That is perfection. Remember, previously he prayed for purity of the church. And here he is praying for perfection. Oh, God loved us. He loves us. He wants us to be perfect. He wants us to really behave like him. Because this is the prayer, his last prayer he prayed to God, asking God to really make us perfect. Let us really try to be perfect by all means, my brothers and sisters. If you read this chapter, you will be really get inspired. You will really feel God in you. You will feel God with us. You will feel the church in God. You will feel a holy church. You will feel a perfect church. You will feel a pure church. You are the one to make a difference. You are the one to show this purity. As Jesus Christ stood up to be counted, and you please stand up to be counted today to show what Jesus Christ's purpose was for when he came here. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of God. Lastly, in verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world was. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and they will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Brothers and sisters, next week we shall be thinking about the death, the sufferings, and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And here, this is the prayer which he last prayed. This is a conversation which he did with his Father. These were the last words of like a dying person. What do you think about these words? What should you do about these words? Next week, as I say, it is a great memory to the world of Jesus Christ, which they call Good Friday, and they call Easter time, and they call resurrection of Jesus Christ. For brothers and sisters, I urge you to really worship God in truth. I urge you to really preach the word of God. I urge you to really glorify Jesus Christ. I urge you to really keep the church pure and keep the church strong by showing yourself to anybody with the purity as Jesus Christ did and prayed for us. May God be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.